I wanted to share, I'm going to start in James, so you can turn to James chapter 1. I was going to share a bit more on some things that I was reading and were in my heart after Maddie shared for the kids last week. So for those who remember or don't remember, the last week we did a little example of wise and foolish builders, and Jesus completed his Sermon on the Mount by exhorting those who were listening to be wise builders, to actually hear his words and do something, to take them to heart and actually apply them to their lives. Because those who heard all those words he shared and didn't apply them to their lives, he described them as foolish builders. And he said the end result is that when the tests come, the house will collapse. But he gave a promise to those who do and take heed to what he said and apply them. And he said, when the test comes, the house will stand. And in Luke, when he recites the same parable, he actually starts it by saying, Lord, if you call me Lord, why don't you do what I say? And so he was challenging the hearers again, if you're going to call me Lord, then you need to be doing what I'm saying. You need to be taking this and applying it to your life. And I think we all know that our salvation comes through a faith that is rested on what Jesus has done for us. That is the salvation that each of us have if we've come to Christ in repentance and faith. But Jesus also says he wants us to have a salvation that works itself out in our lives. That if our salvation is only a knowledge of what he's done, instead of taking what he's said and shared to us and applying it to our lives, then we really shouldn't be calling him Lord. He challenges and says, don't call me Lord if you're not going to apply what I've shared to your life. And what's more, he gives us, if we truly believe what it says, we're going to want to do it because he gives us promises that if we do it, our lives will be on a good foundation. Our lives will be on a foundation that can stand the tests and the trials because we've built it on him. And that was a little bit more what I was looking at, as some other verses that kind of talk about building our lives on what he's instructed, being doers of the word. And so let's start in James chapter 1, verse 21. It says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. So I think we heard from Jason what kind of people we are, right? Like, I think if we read the word and actually have an open and honest heart, I really hope that we can say, yeah, I've heard a little bit this morning about the kind of person I am. And it starts in verse 21. It says that James is encouraging us to receive the word of God with humility, to receive the word of God, come to the word of God knowing that we need to be further changed, knowing that the word of God has instruction for us to help us, that Jesus Christ, our Father, wants to speak to us through his word to show us things that are going to help us, that are going to be a blessing to us if we apply them in our lives. If we come to the word in that way, then we can be, like it says here, to be those who receive the word implanted with humility, a humility and a faith that can save our souls. Let us not be like those. It says that it's actually a delusion. If we can read God's word, if we can hear God's word, and yet immediately walk away and it has no impact on us, it doesn't actually expose anything in our hearts. It says that we can actually be in a delusion. And I'm not saying every single time. There may be mornings where we flip God's word open and it encourages us. It just is a straight blessing to know how much our Heavenly Father loves us. There's other times where there's promises of how we can be sustained through trial that we may read. But if we do not have a relationship with the word, where at times the word speaks to our hearts and cuts us and shows us what we are and shows us how we still need to be changed and shows us areas where we need to be applying this instruction to our lives, It says that that's a delusion. It says it's a delusion if you can just always read the word and never have it speak to you personally about where you need to be changing. And I don't want that for myself, and I don't want that for anybody here. I want all of us to be as instructed here, that when we read God's word, it's like a good mirror, and we see things as they are. God's word gives us clarity. It speaks to our hearts, and it gives us clarity and allows us to say, you know what, I need to be changed. I want to apply this instruction further in my life. I want to see the instruction that is given here. And by faith, I want to walk it out. I want to apply it. And I want to be a doer of the word. I don't want to just be a hearer who's deluded. I want to be one who hears and does. And therefore, we get to go to this promise in verse 25. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty. This is not the law of commandments that says, I'm righteous because I do them. Don't hear me wrong here, because there is a living according to the law that says, I'm righteous because I do them. And you can read about that in Galatians. That's not what I'm saying here. But I'm saying there is a law of liberty that is received by faith that says, by the power of God, by the grace of God that's been given in my life, I am going to do this. Because Jesus Christ will do it in me and through me. That's how I'm going to do this. Not through my own striving. Not so at the end of the day I can tick the box and say, I did this. Because if at the end of the day we're saying, I'm righteous because I've done this, that's flawed. But if we come to the word of God and says, apart from God, I'm not righteous. I need to be changed. And I want to apply this to my life and do it because I want to share in this righteousness that Christ has for me. I want the grace of God to change me. Then we're walking in the law of liberty. Then we're walking in a law that brings us into freedom. Freedom from the areas where we've seen we need to be further changed. And then it says, but if we're not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. This man, woman, young person, even children. If we take God's word and apply it and do it, we will be blessed. We will be blessed. And I read this last week, and I was reading it a bit more this week, and said, I want that blessing. I want that blessing. I want that blessing of a life that is built on a solid foundation, that when the test comes, I don't crumble and fall. When the test comes, I can be there as a brother who can be someone to encourage and be with someone in difficult times, because I've been building my life on the foundation of Jesus Christ, and it's a solid foundation. I can be there for my family when the test comes. Be someone that can actually point us to Christ when the difficult times come, and not be shaken, not get off into my own corner, sullen and discouraged because I haven't been building on the good foundation. I want to be building on a foundation that allows me to stand when the tests and trials come. I want to be blessed in what I do. And then in verse 26, if anyone thinks himself to be a religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart. So once again, there's the delusion, but deceives his own heart. This man's religion is worthless. And I thought it was interesting, because I think if we honestly take this verse to our heart, every single one of us in this room could say, you know what? I got further to go with my tongue. I have further to go right here. We don't have to go far. What I've been wanting to share today is ways that we can take God's word, apply it to lives, and be doers of his word. Well, it starts right here in verse 26. Lord, continue to change my tongue. Continue to change my tongue. Let my tongue be a fountain of pure living water. Let not salty water come out of my mouth. It starts right there. So I think that it's wonderful that the Holy Spirit inspired James to write that verse next, because I think it's right here. We don't have to look far to say, oh, is there any verses that I could apply that I can look in a mirror and say, am I where I want to be? Am I fully mature in all that Christ has for me, or is there further to go? And I think all of us could look at that and say, you know what? There's further to go. I want to be further changed. I want to apply God's word. I want to be a doer of the word. I want to see my own heart change so that the words that come out of my mouth are pure waters. And if there's words that come out of our mouth that are not that I also want to be a doer of the word and humble myself. If I've spoken words that have offended or hurt others, then I want to be quick to humble myself and apply that and get back on a good foundation and be a doer of the word and be one that looks, lets the word look at our hearts and challenge us. Let's turn to John chapter 13 for another example. In looking at these verses, I was just my own Bible was just giving me these sort of cross references, and I love this one as well because it's so great in how Jesus basically says some of these exact words I've been sharing, but the context is excellent because it's another time where we can look at this passage and immediately say, right here, there's somewhere where I know I can apply being a doer of the word. So in John chapter 13, verse 13, it says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you should also do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is the one who sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." So once again, we get this same truth that if we hear God's word, if we see instruction in God's word that it can apply to our life, the blessing comes that if by faith we're doing it, if by faith we're taking it and applying it to our lives. And Jesus said in this case, it's a wonderful example because it's about being a servant. And I look at this again, just like the tongue, if we all evaluate ourselves and say, you know what? Am I walking in the servanthood of my master? Am I walking in the example of Jesus Christ, the one who was God from the beginning of time, came to earth, and not only came to earth as a teacher or a leader, but actually came to earth to walk as a servant, to wash in the last hours of his life, to spend his time washing his disciples' feet, I think I can say wholeheartedly that I yet have not become a doer of the word as the example set by my Savior. And I look at that and say, Lord, help me. Help me to be a doer of the word as you are, to be a servant as you are. I'm standing in the kitchen at 10:30 at night washing dishes. Is my heart grumbling? Or is my heart saying, hey, this is an opportunity to be a servant, just like my Savior? And I give that as an example because it's practical for me. My mind, the enemy can lie to me and tell me all these other things that I wish I would have been doing or should have been doing or better use of my time. Rather, the very best use of my time may be to be a servant in that moment, to be a servant of my family, to be a servant like my Savior. And that's when the word needs to be applied. The enemy wants to put something in our mind that'd be grumbling and complaining. And Jesus says, you know what? One of the most important lessons I want to teach you disciples before I die is that you need to be servants. That I, as your master and teacher, was the one who was willing to wash your feet. And I want you to live that life. I want you to live that life as a servant. And I just see in my own heart, you can have all kinds of theology. You can have all kinds of truth. But if we want to be blessed, if we want to be doers of the word who are blessed, then we want to be those who are living as a servant. Another perfect example of how Jesus said the promise that if we know these things and do them, then we are blessed. I'm just going to read one more. It'll be just brief. Doesn't have the example with it like these do, but I just want to maybe close with it because it's another confirmation of these things. So Luke chapter 11. So in Luke chapter 11, verse 27, Jesus said, "While Jesus was saying these things, one of the women in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, 'Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed.' But he said, 'On the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it.'" And while I don't in this passage necessarily see an exact example of where Jesus is showing us how to be a doer, what I see here is Jesus, as strongly as he can say it, saying, no, it's not about a positional thing. It's not about, even if you could be Mary, the mother of God, which is who they're talking about, Jesus says, you know what? I'm actually going to contradict what you're saying. You're saying that this woman is blessed because she's Mary and was my mother? Jesus is saying, no, on the contrary. Even if you could say I'm Mary, he says, on the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and do it. It's not about wearing the name tag Christian. It's not about trying to put a confidence in some kind of experience or something like that, or something else that others may look at on the outside and say, oh, because of this, you're raised in a good family. Maybe it says that because blessed are those who are raised in good family. These are a blessing. I don't want to deny that. But Jesus said at its core, blessed are those who hear the word of God and do it. Even when using the example of his own mother, and I don't think he was humbling Mary here, but he was saying, even in the example of his own mother, he said, you know what? That's not who's blessed. Those who are blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. And I just think for myself, I can say it practically. If we read the scriptures with this example, if we read the scriptures and say, Father, show me areas where you want me to be taking your word to heart, to be taking your word to heart. And I'll just give you a practical example. Even as I read through these things, sometimes you can say that and think it's going to be some incredibly difficult, dramatic, life-changing, and God may have dramatic, life-changing things that he speaks to us. But for myself, as I read this, I was sort of wondering what the implications would be. And the implications to me were, watch your tongue. Be a servant. Start there. Start there. You apply those things. If you're a doer of the word of God in those areas, you will be blessed. And I know there's further to go in other areas that I need to learn through the scriptures and become a doer in other areas. But for me personally, as I was studying these passages, that's where the Holy Spirit led me to start. And I just looked at it and said, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I want to do these things. I want to apply these in my life. I want to be more of a servant. I want my tongue to be bridled. I want my tongue to be a source of life in my home, in my workplace, with you guys, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I want my tongue to be a source of life. I don't want it to be a source of tearing down or discouragement or other things. I want it to be a source of life. So, Father, bridle my tongue. I've looked in the mirror. I see that I'm not where you would have me be, and I say, change me, and I want to be a doer of the word. I want to apply it and let it speak to my heart, and by faith, I want to walk it out. I want to put it into practice. When I see instruction in the word of God, I want to put it into practice because there is a blessing there. There is a great blessing there, and Jesus promises us. I'm sure there's other places that it's there, but it's promised to us that if we do it, if we take God's word and do it, we will be blessed. Father, I just thank you for just the things that you've been speaking to my heart through these passages, and I pray that they would be a blessing to others who could hear it today. And I also just thank you for the words we heard about just loving you much, because we know, because the word of God has shone in our hearts, and we know what we are apart from you. We know that apart from your salvation, we would just be dead in our sins, and that we need to have a heart that is full of gratitude, not a heart that is proud or haughty, that expects or thinks somehow we deserve anything, but rather hearts that know that we're unworthy of all the blessing and all the forgiveness and all the goodness you give us. And we would just have that attitude within ourselves, and we would use that, Lord, just to be able to share that with others and be a blessing to others, because we have been forgiven much, and we're able just to walk in a life that reflects that and is a testimony to others, Lord, of just your goodness and how much you've done for us, and that we would just be able to respond to your word with humility and allow it to change our lives. Amen.